Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, inequality is growing in Europe, but this time it's between generations.
This is not an issue of old versus young. It is basically, if the young are better off, we are all better off in the end. The economy can grow, more is there to be distributed to everybody.
Incomes for Europe's youth declined after the 2007 global financial crisis, largely due to unemployment. And while things have recovered somewhat, the trend towards short-term work and less stable jobs has meant incomes have not grown, and young people are now more likely to fall into poverty. Meanwhile, Europeans 65 and older have seen their incomes increase by 10%. A new study by IMF staff looks at this growing inequality and poverty across generations in Europe and how it could have long-term effects on Europe's economy if not addressed. Alexander Pitt is an economist in the IMF's European Department and co-authored the report.
So why this growing income disparity between the young and the old in Europe?
Well, the global crisis and its how it has played out in Europe has had very different impact on different age groups. I mean, we look at the overall Gini coefficient, a measure of inequality, that hasn't changed very much. But if you look at what happened to different age groups, there you see that for the young, their poverty rate has increased, the likelihood of living in relative poverty has increased. Their incomes have essentially stagnated, first declined, now recovered a little bit, but stagnated over the past 10 years. Whereas for older people, pensioners, incomes have increased and the risk of poverty has declined dramatically. The reason for that is that the crisis has played out via the labor market and fiscal policy. As we know, unemployment has risen, and the young, who faced higher unemployment rates already before the crisis than the average population, have been especially hard hit. And not only unemployment, but also more precarious employment, less stable jobs, less well-paid jobs. And at the same time, social programs had to be restrained because fiscal strains have emerged and governments were forced to save. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, governments have generally protected pensions because of indexation rules, for example. And of course, old people are not dependent on the labor market if they receive a pension. Mm. So you have the labor market impact and the fiscal impact, and both have played basically against the young. Mm.
And so what are the broader implications for Europe's economy if these issues aren't addressed?
Well, I mean, as the managing director has said, it's a dream deferred. And if that dream of stable employment and career opportunities has to be or is deferred too long for the young, then we basically are raising a lost generation. And that has not only implications for the people themselves, for the youngsters today, but also because, I mean, they earn less, they save less, they earn fewer pension rights, and they have to carry the burden for the older, to paying the pensions for the older generations. And but it's also a broader economic problem because they are less productive, they're less skilled, and that undermines the growth potential of the entire economy with detrimental consequences for everybody. Mm.
So one of the findings in the paper is that the older population seem to be more financially secure than they were perhaps, the same group was perhaps 10 years ago. Why is that?
Well, the older people, they live essentially off pensions, and pensions have been indexed either to wages and or inflation and are therefore to some extent decoupled from the volatility of the economy, which, I mean, 10 years ago, of course, with the global crisis, has been very high.
So how much of this is about, you know, the traditional labor market institutions, minimum wage, unemployment insurance, that have not adapted to today's work environment?
Well, the classic welfare state, the modern welfare state that has been built in the post-war years is centered around the model of lifelong employment in a fairly stable job. But this is no longer necessarily the case. I mean, those jobs are becoming rarer and many more people have to now to make do with short-term, temporary jobs, part-time jobs, even if they want to work full-time. And in general, more flexibility is required. And that means that, for example, in some unemployment schemes, that what you can get out of it in case you are getting unemployed depends on what you put in before. And if you are in a volatile situation or earn very little or have always these spells of unemployment, you cannot acquire the same rights as if unemployment is something that happens to you maybe once or twice in your life, in your working life, and before that you have a reasonably stable employment situation. So the system is basically not adapted to the modern flexible world of work. And I mean, on specific labor market institutions, for example, such people in this what we call gig economy, they are also much more difficult to organize. And one of the findings in our paper is that the degree of coordination and organization in the labor market between employers and employees, that's a very important determinant of how unemployment affects the young. And where that works well, I mean, for the classic example is Central Europe, Germany, Austria, these countries, where these institutions are strong, they have also been hit less. The youth have been hit less in those countries.
So stronger unemployment insurance schemes and...
It could be stronger unemployment insurance schemes, but it could also be better labor market coordination between the different actors. It's not just antagonistic necessarily, employers versus employees, but if one tries to find solutions together, I mean, including through education, for example.
And do you think that this unemployment issue has to do with fewer employment opportunities, or is it that young people don't have the skill sets that allows them to take advantage of those employment opportunities that exist?
It's probably a bit of both. Mm-hmm. Of course, the economic downturn in 2009-10 and in subsequent years in several European countries makes it impossible, even if you're the best educated young entrant into the labor market, makes it very difficult to find a job. But at the same time, we have also seen that these schemes that emphasize skills and in particular skills that are not theoretical, but actually that companies need. So if curricula are designed between employers, employees, and with state support as well, that can help a lot to cushion the blow and also adapt the young to a labor market so that they really have the skills that are in demand.
So the recommendations in this paper are about, mostly anyway, about spending more on social protections for the young. Does Europe have a sufficient tax base to cover the expense of that?
Well, I mean, as we know, taxation in Europe is in general quite high. But it should not be impossible to finance better social protection. I mean, in some areas money can be shifted around from less efficient users to more efficient users. For example, in these active labor market policies, expenditure on that could be directed or focused on areas where skills are imparted. So that would help the young not only to just get some temporary job to park them, but also to learn something and so they can then move into the first labor market. But also, I mean, there is a tax base that is not tapped, or not sufficiently tapped, perhaps. Wealth taxes have been declining or very low in many countries. And the progressivity of income taxation has also been declining over the last several decades already. So if some of that potential could be tapped, that would go a long way. I mean, the sums involved are probably not very large that are needed. And yes, as I said, taxation is high in Europe, but the resources are there.
Do you think there's a political implication of drawing more from the aging population?
Yes. I mean, the political dimension is, of course, not easy. But, for example, France has introduced a reform where social security contributions have been reduced, especially for low-wage earners, and at the same time to counterfinance that taxation of total income, including pension, has been increased. So that there is a shift from pensioners to younger people. But I think most importantly, we should view this as this is an investment in the future of not only the young people themselves, but in the future of our economies, of our societies. And that also implies that this is not an issue of old versus young. It is basically, if the young are better off, we are all better off in the end. The economy can grow, more is there to redistribute it to everybody.
That was Alexander Pitt, senior economist in the IMF's European Department and co-author of A Dream Deferred, Inequality and Poverty Across Generations in Europe, which you can find at imf.org. If you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. And you can also now follow us on Twitter at IMF Podcast.